Jillian here with Citizen J Podcast, and on today's first episode, I have Rochelle Croft from Expedition Overland. Let's get started.
Fasten your seatbelt.
All right, everyone, Jillian here with Citizen J Podcast, and guys, this is the first episode for this podcast. I'm so excited. And with me today is my good friend, Rochelle Croft with Expedition Overland. And I'm super excited you're here.
I'm stoked to be here. Thanks for having me.
And actually, it's no small feat that you're here. You have probably one of the craziest schedules. Whenever I want to complain about what I'm doing, I kind of have like a little like bubble that pops up. And I think of like what you guys are, you know, scheming for in the process of creating. This is the adventure of a lifetime you guys are living. Not easy.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed. So we, if you're not familiar, we have the Rebel here in the States. That is probably the biggest female rally. So that you have been a part of since inception for that project. It's not a project. It's a rally.
Yeah.
Explain what a rally is, because it's not overlanding.
No, and it's not racing. It's kind of one of those terms people may have different meanings, because you hear rally racing and you think like the little BMW cars, like, you know, balls to the wall and drifting and all the things.
Right.
That's not what this is. So
it's not?
No. That's on my bucket list, though.
Okay, we're going to talk to Glover about that.
Yeah, we do. So this is a long distance navigation rally. Okay. And I first heard about it in 2011, when Clay was actually debuting our very first episode of Expedition Overland in Hollister, California, which is where he met Scott Brady, our very first sponsor, Max Trax, the owner Brad McCarthy, and Emily Miller was also there talking about, dear Emily, talking about this rally she had experienced in Morocco.
Okay. Awesome.
And so she had done it, I believe, two times at that point. And she was trying to rally the troops in America. She was like, this is an incredible event. Like, people need to know about this. It changed her life. It changed my life. And Clay came home with this little postcard for this Rally Shadé Gazelles in Morocco and handed it to me. And I literally took that card and I was like, wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
I was going through things at that time in my life. I wasn't great.
It didn't sound like that was going to be a priority.
No, I had three young, you know, we had three young boys. Like, Eli was a year. And I'm like, okay, that'd be pretty sweet. And so Clay, being my amazing best friend and husband, was like, he knew that I needed like a little spark, like something. Because, you know, you go through motherhood or a change in jobs or anything in your life, and you just... it's very easy to lose who you are. So we went to the SEMA Auto Show, and it was at the Max Trax booth. I met a woman there named Julie, and she was like, did you hear about this crazy rally in Morocco? I was like, yeah, that's insane. She's like, yeah, it'd be kind of cool. I was like, it would be kind of cool. I was like, I like to drive. And she's like, well, I could learn how to navigate.
Oh, I love this.
And then the coolest thing happened was all the guys came around us, and they were like, you totally have to do this.
That's cool.
And I was just like, could we actually do this? And I sat down with Clay at SEMA. I was like, okay, we need to have this conversation. We have a lot going on. We're trying to start a business. We're getting this show up and running. We have three kids. And I kind of want to do this thing in Morocco in 5 months, which I've never done before in my life. And he was like, yeah, I think you should do it. I think it'd be really good for you.
This is awesome.
I was like, okay. And we went for it. Had no idea what we were getting into. Had to figure out how to ship a car from overseas to Europe.
And that's incredible. This is your first one.
I'd never driven in sand. I grew up in Montana. I was like, I know how to drive in snow. Maybe they're the same. I don't know.
Let's go to a desert.
Go to the desert. We had one weekend of training in Glamis. And it was one of those moments you land in the airport and you're like, what am I doing? Why is this a good idea?
I feel that a lot lately.
It's normal. It's good.
Okay. Just lean into that.
Yeah. And Emily did our first training. She was
awesome.
She was also like, this was a first for her. She was trying to get more women into it.
So she wasn't training prior to that, just had experienced it. And
she,
then was...
yeah, she was a racer for Rod Hall at the time. So that's where he had taken her kind of under her wing and taught her how to drive.
Okay.
And just had done an incredible job. And so, fun fact, Rod Hall was actually in the back seat of my FJ, my first time driving in Glamis, telling me how to drive up sand dunes. And I was just like, who's, I didn't really know who it was. Clay's just like freaking out. He's like, do you know who's in the backseat of your car right now? And I'm just like, Rod, is that his name?
I feel like that happens a lot though with like this. So all of a sudden there'll be this like storied legend you're standing next to. And half the time, like, I'll know the name, but if I don't, they don't come in with a name tag.
No.
So I don't know enough to like know their face. And all of a sudden we're standing and I'm like, hi, my name's Jillian. And they say their name and I'm like, oh.
I should know who that
is. I'm just going to sit here now.
He was incredible.
And then they're
incredible
always so gracious.
Man. Yeah. So that was, we had the one weekend of training and then we were off to Morocco.
Oh.
And by the way, everyone in the rally is mostly French. And I did not speak French in any way.
And your partner did not either.
No.
This is fun.
It was fun.
Were there any other Americans or English speaking?
There was one other American team who had done the rally previous. So they were like top 10.
Okay.
And we were like way back here, like way back here.
I started driving in the sand a week ago.
Yeah. And they were great. But when you're top 10, you're focused.
Right.
Like you're there to do
a
job. So they can't like hold your hand and help you along.
They can't?
No. So that was our experience. And I came home from that rally. There's a million stories with that. But I came home realizing, you know, at certain points during that rally when I'm stuck in the desert. Mm. I'm having to figure out how to dig out a car by myself. There's no one around for miles. And you're in the middle of Morocco somewhere, not speaking the language. And you're like, what am I doing? But you also realize in those moments, if I don't figure this out, I'm not going home.
Right. I like my family. I would.
So these are my two choices.
Right.
Like figure it out.
Right.
Or sit here and whine and complain about it.
Right.
And then maybe figure it out.
Right.
I love those situations. I can say that now because I'm not currently in one.
Right.
You know what it
is. No, I know exactly.
You hit the wall.
Right.
And you're like, ah, why do I do this to myself?
Right.
But they're so good for you.
Right.
Because I came home a completely different person. And even Clay was like, oh, dang, who's this girl? You know? It felt like something inside me reignited.
Yeah.
Like, this is the person...
That period of your life
is,
I mean, I think, I'm not a mother, but you know that women that trans, like have young children, like that is I've watched so many girlfriends, like that is a challenging time for women.
It's so challenging. Yeah. The best way Clay and I describe it is like you're in the trenches, like your head is down and you're in the trenches.
Yeah.
And we were definitely the type of parents, we made the decision, like our kids are coming into our lives. Mm. We're not doing the best to our ability to not like cater to everything around our children.
Right.
You know, it was like, you come along onto our adventure and this is your life. I'm sorry, but good luck. Like, this is what you get.
Right.
You know, we'll pay for counseling later. They're going to need it.
They have a college fund / counseling.
They
fund.
Do. They actually do. Yeah.
No, your boys, they're good. You've done a great job. I think your parenting style, for as long as I've known you, has been something that I admire. And while I don't think I will be participating in the parenting role, I am like, well, if I was ever going to do it, that's how I'd do it. I just think it's so fun. And I know it's not without its challenges for you and Clay, but with this adventurous lifestyle where you don't want to put like your desires as an adult on hold just because you have children. Of course they're a priority. Of course you love them and you want the best for them.
Yeah.
But I love how it's like, hey, we're doing this wholesome thing that isn't, you know, you're not harming your children by involving them.
Yeah.
You may be challenging them a little extra.
For sure.
And I know that your schedules have pulled you away here and there.
Yeah.
But you guys have always made a lot of efforts to balance those with your kids and or prioritize. I know we've had trips where you're like, hey, you know, I got to stay home on this one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not able to leave because, you know, something's going on. And that, I don't know, the balance I see with you guys is admirable. And again, I'm not doing it, but if I did, I would do it like you.
Well, thank you.
Not really a compliment.
No, it's... I appreciate that because the mom guilt is definitely a real thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I battle with it all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, man, I don't spend as much time with my kids as all these people do. And even my first trip to Morocco, I had so many moms who were like, what are you doing?
Interesting.
That's really bad that you would do that. And so then it was going against, actually, if I take care of myself and our marriage, I'm going to be a better mom.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to be a better person.
Yeah.
And this is really important for me to go figure out.
Yeah. It's been a great thing that society is kind of moving away from viewing choices like that as selfish.
Yeah.
And we're realizing that kind of taking care of some mental health however that looks is yeah. important. And it's not selfish that you kind of care for, hey, I'm kind of lacking in some things and I'm not really liking what I'm producing, you know, yeah. with who I'm interacting.
Yes.
And maybe I need to, you know, instead of just like suck it up and like get through it and, yes. you know, just be a better person, like, no, maybe I need some tools. I need some help.
Yes.
And again, that looks like different things for everybody. But I think I am encouraged that we're seeing people, hey, raise their hand and be like, mm-hmm. I need help.
Yes.
And I, maybe this is a segue we should come back to, but I think finding other women in the community like yourself, mm-hmm. and I know we're a part of another group of women that are honestly very different. Mm-hmm. All of us have come together and have these weekends away, and they become a, sorry, they are classic girls trips where we yeah. just cry the whole time. Someone's
it's true.
Like there's just all this like emotion. We haven't seen each other in a year and everyone's like, I'm gonna tell you my deepest, darkest secret. Yeah. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You realize the impact we have on each other and yeah. just to encourage and talk and just for to be heard by another woman that understands, that goes, mm-hmm. I know exactly what that feels like.
Yes.
And you're not a bad person for feeling that. Like
no.
you just we're just moving you through something.
Yeah.
And we use that term like you're changing the world. And you know, part of you, of course, I would love to change the world.
Yeah.
But I think we really do touch each other in special ways that we are yes. changing that individual.
Yeah.
And then they go and change their family mm-hmm. or change another woman that they can come into contact with. And like yeah. you kind of slowly can change the world or at least your community.
It's true.
Around.
Yeah. I believe it. Someone told me, one of my mentors many years ago was like, it's almost... instead of thinking of it as the masses or changing the world, it's in the ones and the twos. Mm. And when she said that, I was like, that can't be right. And then I thought about it and I was like, you're absolutely right. Because it is those one people you can connect with and they touch two more people and then they touch five more people. But it starts, it has to start with one. It has to start somewhere,
right.
you know?
So I feel like I can't have this conversation with you without actually talking about how we met. So you and I had been circling within the community, I think. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if we had actually like introduced ourselves, but no conversation until yeah. that Washington event
yeah.
where we actually sat down and intentionally had a conversation.
Yes.
And I had wanted to meet you, but I was really excited to meet
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I was really excited to meet you.
Well, so I guess we're secretly fangirling over each other. I don't know. But... it was so great to finally sit down and just have a real conversation. And I will say that it impacted me so much that you were willing to give me so much time. Because you just like, I remember you like sat down and it was like, tell me your story.
I was probably a little creepy. It was like, tell me all about yourself.
Well, and I was kind of like on my heels a bit because I was like, well, I just wanted to say hi. And
yeah.
I've watched everything. I was fangirling. Yeah. But you were kind of larger than life to me at that moment. Like it was, you know, I'd only seen you on YouTube. My exposure to you came from my dad after I had bought the Tacoma and was out like camping a little bit. And I think I came home and he was like, have you seen this show? Like these people
so
do
cool.
this thing with their Toyotas. Like you have to watch it. And we watched one of your first like full seasons, mm-hmm. one of the adventures at my dad's house. And you know, then binge watched everything after that from then on. You were an inspiration to how that this building was even possible for a vehicle. That put you kind of up in this spot where it was like, it's Rochelle. But instantly grounded me, I think, with a realistic friendship right, like within the first few moments. But we'll fast forward. I mean, we had that interaction. I think we maybe stayed in contact a little bit mm-hmm. more through social media,
yeah.
having had a conversation. Fast forward a year, maybe?
I think it was a year.
Year and a half later,
yeah.
I get a random message from you that you got a random message from some other woman in the community that was like, let's go camping.
Yeah, you look cool. Want to go camping in Utah? And I was like, yeah, actually sounds fun.
It's just so bizarre.
It's
and
so
and
bizarre.
That we all said, okay, like, yeah. let's go, strangers from the internet.
Yeah.
We don't know each other. And to top it yeah. off, she's like, let's go canyoneering. And we all went, okay.
Sure. What could go wrong?
So many things. Let's go hang off ropes in the cliffs and step off of ledges. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
But this is, I guess we're talking about our girlfriend, Laura. And I love telling this story because I think, to me, it's inspirational too. Stepping out into mm-hmm. an area that you don't know, that's just a total unknown, maybe you're terrified of. Laura is one of those gals that creates vision boards. But she created a vision board for her year, mm-hmm. as she does.
Yep.
As Laura does.
Yeah.
Her little photos. And she had this idea that she wanted to go on an overlanding trip with women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, put it up on the wall, sat on it, and then felt odd about what was up there. And talked with her husband, why do I feel weird about that? And realized it was the one thing on the board that she had to wait for somebody else to invite her.
Oh,
to go.
Yes, you're right.
She
yes.
couldn't, she everything she could kind of push towards, but that she had to wait for someone to yes. ask, well, you know, to tell her about or invite her
or
to
invite
go.
Invite her, yes.
And she okay. realized she was going to have to make it happen.
Yes.
And created an email or a message
yes.
and to a few women who, I'm guessing you were given the ability to invite someone, so you reached out to me.
I didn't know, I just did.
I was like, just showed up.
I think the language was, you know, she invited me. Hey, you don't know me, but you look like a cool person on Instagram who does this kind of, who's into this kind of thing. Would you want to go on a trip? And immediately I was like, Jillian needs to be in on this.
So just in case we die or something, we're
yeah,
together?
Yeah, okay. For sure. No. No, because to be completely honest with you, I felt insecure.
Yeah.
Because I'm the way...
Michelle is human?
Oh, very. Oh, very human.
I don't
yeah,
understand.
And I'm complete honesty. It's, you know, I watch all of you women coming up in this space and you're out there every weekend or every week or way more than I am out there doing it, because the way our business model works is like we raise money for a really big project
right.
and then I'm on the road for maybe 6 weeks
right.
at a time and then I'm back home.
Right.
But all of you, you know, I see are out there continually.
Mm, our pace is different.
Yeah, your yeah. pace is different. And I was like, well, I only go like once or maybe twice a year. I'm not as good as these girls.
Oh,
and
that's so funny. That's such a weird phrase coming from you. but I understand.
But yeah, I was like, and you know, you're into a situation where you're being challenged and you have to work together.
Right.
And the bonding happens pretty quick.
No, I think she would kind of say like, it maybe really wasn't the plan. It kind
no,
of just happened.
It just happened.
She does canyoneering as a hobby with her husband and,
yeah.
and on her own, and has always done this, and decided, I didn't even know what canyoneering was. I mean, I'm so glad I didn't, because I wouldn't have done it. I found out I don't like being harnessed in and stepping off of ledges. What is wrong with you? There is nothing normal about that. But once you're in these canyons, you can't go back. Like, you
no.
have to keep going.
Yeah.
And I was so angry that, like, what am I doing? Like, I always have an eject button for this, and now
yeah.
I'm in here, and it's
uh-huh.
like, well, we can't go back that way, and I have to step off of what? Like, and just hope you catch me? This woman I met 24 hours ago? Like,
yeah.
This is stupid. This is all kinds of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, this is
that
just...
was your Morocco, because it's you have that realization, you're like, oh, there's no way out. One of the best quotes. There's no way up or around. I'm butchering it. There's only through.
Only through, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's totally, and yeah, I think that is a theme for what we do. And this style of adventure, while there's many styles of adventure out there for everybody.
Yeah.
This one in particular really does consistently place these types of events where you are up against a wall going, I've never been here before.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that female energy sometimes panics a little bit extra. I mean, I've never been a man, so I'm not sure how
yeah.
that goes on in their head. But I feel like we get an extra boost of like, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Like,
yeah.
And you really have to feel that, and then like, all right, focus that energy
yes.
and fix it.
Yeah.
Or at least like, let's start moving somewhere, and then we'll figure it out as we go. And you always do.
Yes.
And you come out different and changed.
Yeah.
And I did come out different and changed, but I also will never, ever do that again. Because she keeps trying to be like, let's go canyoneering. And I'm like, no.
We all know her. We know your ways, Laura. She's like, my 3-year-old can do it. It means nothing.
So I'd like to circle back around, because I think, I mean, XO is a big part of, not your identity, I hate that. I mean, but it is who you guys are. It's definitely
yeah.
what you plan for your entire year. You know, every year is something different for you guys.
Yeah.
You've built an empire, kind of, in a sense. I know I know you personally enough that like maybe that word's gonna not be what you wanna hear, but for those of us that are watching this mm-hmm. process that you guys are going through,
yeah.
what is Expedition Overland?
Yeah, so
good luck.
It's a really good question, Jillian. So Expedition Overland at its core is, so my husband and I founded this in 2010, and it's a film series that documents our overland travels throughout the world. And it follows us and our team. And we wanted to start a show that was not a reality series per se, as you would see in the normal sense on like Discovery or TLC, but true reality, adventure, inspiration. We wanted to show people there was another way to do this and to provide it to the masses.
I know for like our own personal conversations, like authenticity is always important with what you guys are putting out there.
Very
and I think that speaks to the not wanting to be that reality television, which we know lends itself to stuff that isn't reality, or we're adding in stuff just for the effect of it.
We don't go down a road and chop down a tree and then back up the cameras and be like, oh no, there's a tree in the road.
You know, it's like, what are we gonna do?
What do we do? It's legitimately whatever happens there is happening. The drama doesn't have to come. The story's there. You don't have to turn on each other to get that story.
Right. We like the drama to be caught on television. We know that that does create extra buzz for things, and it's gold.
Yeah, for sure.
But I want everyone to come home. I want every. Yes. I don't want to get stuck on the side of the road. You know, we're stuck there for 3 days. Production's over. Or the entertainment value is done if I'm now trying to survive. So.
Yes.
It has to be done that, like that balance, I think, where you're still being responsible to yourself, the environment.
Yes.
You don't want to be that idiot with a camera.
No.
Down
no.
Making the news the next week, right?
No. And that's, you know, to our core of when we started, that's a core value of who we are and how we do need to prepare for these expeditions or these trips. When we first started in 2010, we had all this film work lined up and all of the work he'd lined out for those 6 months had all fallen through. So just gone in a day.
Okay.
Like with it, I think it was the span of a week. And so we're sitting there and you're just like, huh, okay, what do we do? Right. And it was like, well, you know, at this point, I don't know if it can get any worse. So there's probably not a worse time to try this.
Right.
Because we're already at the bottom.
That's a great point.
And he didn't even know we didn't even know what overlanding was at the time. Mm. He'd gone to the Toyota dealership in Bozeman and borrowed an overland journal.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then came home and was like, oh my gosh, have you seen, like, did you know this is a thing? Like,
so it's Clay's fault.
Clay's fault.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We blame you.
I'm sorry. But, you know, we started to see this working, and that was like our very first taste into what overlanding was.
Right.
And you hit 2010 there and all that work has fallen through and you're just like, well, maybe we could do a show on overlanding, whatever that is. We had no money. We actually put our first few months on the credit card, $10,000 in debt. Ooh. I wouldn't always recommend doing that, but that was our option at the time.
Right. 10,000's not a small number to put on a credit card for sure.
No, especially 12 years ago.
That's a lot. So, I mean, was that just out of necessity, or was that a long conversation to kind of,
How did we get there?
You don't do that lightly, I would hope.
No, we definitely did not. And it was, honestly, it was the only option at the time that we felt we had.
Okay.
Because we just felt like we had to just get it moving.
Got it.
And the money had to come from somewhere.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's good to not be irresponsible, which it doesn't sound like, and it was thought out. But there is always risk.
Absolutely.
You know, with any stepping out there, you know, whether it's financial and, you know, there's a variety of versions of that. But I think we can't be naive and say that you can't do big things without some risk involved. And that was your risk.
And the risk never really goes away, even when you are maybe perceived as successful or where we're at. I mean, we have this thing every year where we'd sit at the table and we're like, draw the imaginary line. Are we willing to step across that line again and push the chips in and go for it? You know, building the shop was a risk for us.
Yeah.
It's always the long game.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's good for people to hear that that's a part of it.
Yeah.
You have to accept that.
It is. Every year there's a risk.
Yep. So you guys launched your first show back in 2011. Mm-hmm. And was that through YouTube?
No. So we actually had to launch those episodes on Vimeo.
Okay.
Because at the time, YouTube was for 2-minute cat videos.
for those kids at home, like YouTube was not what it is today.
No.
So you were, because what I remember, you were, there was a limit on what you could upload as far as length of content, right?
Yes, yes, there was length of content. So I believe the number I remember was 8 minutes. And I think even before then it was like a 3 minute cutoff.
That's right.
And all of our episodes were at least around the 20 minute mark.
Okay.
So everyone was like, oh, you should be on YouTube, the people that knew.
Right.
And all of the online streaming platforms, this was so new.
Right.
You couldn't monetize, there was no ads.
Right.
So we put it on Vimeo, and that's where we first started out. That's okay. Where our first fan base was built. And then I think by about 2012, to the beginning of 2013, we were able to start putting episodes on YouTube as well.
Okay.
And it was becoming more of this accepted thing. Yeah. And people still looked at you like, so you're a YouTuber, or put shows on YouTube, and it sounded horrible. Yeah. We're like, no, we're not.
We're better than that, I think.
Like, yeah. It's been a long process of changing with the times as far as the media space goes, and people transitioning from cable to internet to streaming, because that wasn't happening then.
You were pioneering in the streaming lane.
A little bit.
That's crazy. I mean, to see where you guys have gone now. I mean, I think it was a huge deal when you moved over or started to also put content on Prime.
Yeah.
I don't, and maybe it's me being naive, but that seemed like a really big deal that, you know, an overlanding show has made it to that level. But it's been a rapid, wild 10 years, I think.
Oh, for sure. And it's interesting to think about, like, back when I was in high school or college, this wasn't a career choice then.
Right, right.
And so kids growing up now in high school, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a YouTuber. You know, that didn't exist.
Right.
Not that long ago. It's changed fast.
Right.
So it's definitely been an interesting, very fast-moving, changing, crazy pace of life.
Yeah. That just alone is an adventure.
Yeah.
Right. How has that growth process come along? What's that been like?
Oh man, it's felt really slow. We were definitely in it for the long game. So I remember, you know, our first episodes, and we had our first like logo that we mocked up. My dear sister is a graphic designer, and they still do a lot of our work to this day, which is great. And we set up our Facebook page, and we had all of our friends and family on there. And then that first day, I remember like logging in, and it was some random person's name, and I was like, oh, I don't know this person. Who do you guys know who this is? Do you know who this is? Oh my gosh, we have our first follower, like legit, like person who's watching this. You know,
it was
so exciting, and that was the moment when, you know, Clay and I are like, maybe this could actually work. Maybe we're onto something. And then, you know, each episode we would launch, there would be a few more, and then the comments were like, oh my gosh, I love this. Please make more. When's the next one? We're like, oh, I guess we're making another one. So that was like the first, I'd say, 2 years. And then from there, as we released more episodes and kind of started getting like a Facebook following, you know, and then Instagram happened, started an Instagram account, kind of played with it for 2 years, and then I kind of honestly like forgot about it for 3 years and logged back in one day or someone told me, and they're like, do you know how many followers you have on there now? And I was like, what? And it had gone up like 30,000.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
Oh, I should probably pay more attention to this. That's kind of a big deal. So in a lot of ways, it's felt like it's taken a long time.
Right.
As opposed to people maybe just starting in the YouTube space in 18 or 19 and saw that very fast accelerated growth.
Right.
It's felt like we've been in it for a long time to get to that point.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's awesome. So what exactly do you do? What's your role in the company?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I do a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats, as we all do in small companies and businesses. I've always kind of done the bookkeeping and the accounting, paid the bills, make sure paid off the credit card.
Thankfully. Good.
Did pay off the credit card as soon as we have the money. Right now I'm more on the marketing side, but I'm also vision planning with Clay, a lot of logistics. I've been producer for a lot of the first episodes. When I found out what the producer actually means, I was like, oh, that's what I'm doing. That's what this is.
Got it.
Clay and I both, it's interesting too, just from a marriage perspective, because we are individuals and we're competitive within each. So we've had some like, wait a second. That's like, I want to do that. Well, I want to do that. Well, I told him this. Well, I told him this, you know? So it's not always easy, for sure.
Yeah.
Like it's good we get along really well.
That is really hard for couples to separate that business element. I couldn't imagine working with my spouse like that. We will never work together. Like, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've yet to find the project that would work on.
Yeah.
I guess I just want to know how has that dynamic struggle, how has it changed you? Or what has there been anything that like has really impacted you of like, oh, wow, that's a lesson.
Yeah, there's been a lot of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. We've been married 18 and a half years at this point. So one of the best things I can say for anybody in any marriage is get counseling. Mm. Go to marriage counseling, whether you think you need it or not. Mm. You will get something out of it. And so at a very young age, I recognized within myself, like I was dealing with mental health at a young age. I had a threat of sexual abuse in my childhood. Mm. And I went into marriage and I remember having like premarital counseling and they're like, that's kind of a big deal. And I was like, oh no, it's fine. You know, and you shove it aside. Right. And then, you know, you're married 7 years later and you're like, oh, maybe I'm not fine. Yeah. Maybe I should deal with this.
Right.
So I went and got help individually. And then we did marriage counseling together as well, because we knew as we were stepping into this business and everything we want to accomplish together as a couple and impact as many people as possible through the work we do, we need to be solid, because that trickles down. Mm. If the leaders aren't solid, that's going to leak out into everything you do.
Right.
And so we did marriage counseling for probably 5 to 7 years together. Mm. And we learned so many great tools. We were never on the brink of divorce. So I remember calling the counselor for the first time and he's like, so are you having a hard time? Are you going to get like, are you contemplating divorce? We're like, oh no. Like we got things. I mean, we have the same fight that reoccurs every year that everybody has. I'd like to deal with that.
Right.
But we're fine. And he was like, oh, okay. I like this. This is nice. Usually I get couples that are like, save our marriage.
Right.
So we took the offensive approach rather than the defense approach.
I love that. No.
And the tools we learn, we use for our team. We're like, well, you can take those tools that you learn and apply it to any leadership opportunity in your life. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the basis, like core fundamental things I would encourage anybody to do. But through that, we've definitely butt heads throughout the years. There's been power struggles, if I would say, because I don't know if people know what the Enneagram is, but he's a 7, I'm a 3, I'm very competitive, I'm an achiever, and he's very fun and visionary, but also he's got some competition in him as well.
Right.
And so there'll be times or ideas, and we do have 3 boys, and there's times where it's like, hey, it's probably not the best idea for both of us to be in this location at the same time.
Right, right.
We have kids.
Right.
And
that's a reality.
And that's a reality of it. And we're having those conversations right now because there's somewhere I really want to go. And he's like, I got to make sure that this is a reasonable decision for both of us to be there.
Right.
You know, for so many years, I just felt like I had something to prove. Mm. So I had to do it all the things, right? You got to check all the boxes. It's like, no, I can be a mom and I can do this and I can do this too. And oh yeah, I can do this too. And then over time, that's almost shifted for me to not, I don't feel like I have to prove anything to other people. It's like I have to prove it to myself.
Right.
And even then I'm like, okay, but again, why am I still working so hard to try and prove this to myself? How about I just be okay with where I'm at and who I am?
Right.
And that's taken me a long time to get to. And I'm still working on that.
I think that's an exercise you're constantly going to deal with. I don't think that ever goes away. It gets better. You learn better tools.
Yeah.
You learn, oh, I've seen this before. I know how to deal with this. But
I
think that's a constant struggle. I, from the beginning, wanted to be very authentic in a social media realm. And that is really hard because you're competing with inauthenticity.
Yeah.
And now, after 6 years, I'm starting to see like, oh, okay, there's a reason we did it this way.
Yes.
There's a reason I had this mentality.
Yes.
And that is so rewarding because I'm like, I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
I didn't like sell something I'm not, which I would hate to be at the end of it and be like, wow, I'm successful, but this is so not who I am. I've sold out and now I have to play this role and I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, but you're making money, you're successful, but are you? You know, you're miserable.
Yeah.
That's not worth it to me. That's not at all. So
no. And that's one of the things that drew me to you I first noticed you on Instagram and I saw you not really know what you were doing or what you were getting into, but you're like, I'm going to give it a shot. Yeah, I made some mistakes. Oh, look at that. I have another flat tire because I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And that's where people connect with you.
Right.
And even as our team of XO, it's really important and it's really hard, and we stress this a lot, is you have to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You have to go to that place of vulnerability, which is really hard to go. You got to put your ego aside, because mm-hmm. your ego really wants to get in the way of that. But at the end of the day, that's where the impact comes from.
Right.
Is when someone can say, oh, she did that too. Mm-hmm. I did that. Okay, maybe I'm not alone in this.
Absolutely.
So it's really important.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, no, I can't agree with that more. I think that's been the coolest lesson. And maybe that comes with age too. I think there's something about getting a little
you
older.
You stop caring.
Yeah. The last 5 years makes me look forward to, and I never thought I would understand that. Like, you know, what's the my 40s and my 50s gonna mm-hmm. look like?
Yeah.
I'm not super excited about the physical part, but I feel like psychologically, like, I am excited for, like, if this gets better, if I like care less and like have the inspiration to do more, like, I can do this. Like, I'll get older for this,
for sure.
This experience, maybe.
For sure.
Okay. Well, on that note, you're busy. Things are going on. You guys have got a very busy summer ahead of you. I do really appreciate you coming out. Thank you.
Of course.
You were so willing to come out. So that means a ton to me.
Yeah.
So, Rochelle, if you want to tell the audience where they can find all of your life adventures, all the things.
There's a lot of things.
I know, I'm not quite sure. I was like, there's a lot. Go for it.
There's a lot. All right. So you can follow Expedition Overland on YouTube. You can actually follow Expedition Overland on Amazon Prime. XOverland on all social channels. We're also on the Overlander Network.
Yes.
And you can follow Rochelle Croft on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Ah,
so awesome. Just a few things.
Thanks again for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.